Exodus, the 12th chapter. It's quite a lengthy chapter. I highly doubt that I'll get through the whole chapter this week, but I will try. I'll definitely try to complete it by time next week, because Passover season is coming up, and it's kind of like it's good to have a picture of what's going on. And of course, this one is about the death and the occurrence of the death. And nothing goes beyond that point. That's it for the people of Egypt.
The Lord said to Moshe and Aharon in the land of Mitzrayim, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month every man shall take a lamb according to their fathers' houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons. According to what each can eat, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire. With unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall leave, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Mitzrayim that night, and I will strike all the firstborn of the land of Mitzrayim, both man and beast, and on all the gods of Mitzrayim I shall execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Mitzrayim. On this day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven out of your houses. For if anyone eats what is leavened from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day you shall hold it a holy assembly, and on the seventh day a holy assembly. No work shall be done on those days, but what everyone needs to eat, that alone may be prepared by you. And you shall observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread, for on this very day I brought your hosts out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as a statute forever. In the first month, from the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. For 7 days no leaven is to be found in your houses. If anyone eats what is leavened, that person will be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a sojourner or a native of the land. You shall eat nothing leavened. In all your dwelling places you shall eat unleavened bread." Then Moshe called out to the elders of Israel and said to them, "Go and select lambs for yourselves according to your clans, and kill the Pesach lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and touch the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go out of the door of your house until the morning, for the Lord will pass through to strike the people of Mitzrayim. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you. You shall observe this rite as a statute for you and for your sons forever. And when you come to the land that the Lord will give you, as he has promised, you shall keep this service. And when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? You shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, for he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Mitzrayim, when he struck the people of Mitzrayim, but spared our houses. And the people bowed their heads and worshipped. Then the people of Israel went and did so, as the Lord had commanded Moshe and Aaron. So they did. At midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in the land of Mitzrayim, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne, to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the livestock. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the people of Mitzrayim. And there was a great cry in Mitzrayim, for there was not a house where someone was not dead. Then he summoned Moshe and Aharon by night and said, up, go out from among my people, both you and the people of Israel, go and serve the Lord as you have said. Take your flocks and your herds as you have said and be gone and bless me also. The people of Mitzrayim were urgent with the people to send them out in the land in haste. For they said, we shall all be dead. So the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading bowls being bound up in their cloaks on their shoulders. The people of Israel had also done as Moshe had told them, for they had asked the people of Mitzrayim for silver and gold jewelry and for clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the people of Mitzrayim. So that they let them have what they asked, and thus they plundered the people of Mitzrayim. And the people of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Sukkot, about 600,000 men on foot, besides women and children. A mixed multitude also went up with them, and very much livestock, both flocks and herds. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough that they had brought out of Mitzrayim, for it had not leavened, because they were thrust out of Mitzrayim and could not wait, nor had they prepared any provisions for themselves. The time that the people of Israel lived in Mitzrayim was 430 years. At the end of 430 years, on that very day, all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Mitzrayim. It was a night of watching by the Lord to bring them out of the land of Mitzrayim. So this same night is a night of watching kept to the Lord by all the people of Israel throughout their generations. And the Lord said to Moshe and Aharon, this is the statute of the Passover. No foreigner shall eat of it, but every slave that is bought for money may eat of it after you have circumcised him. No foreigner or hired worker may eat of it. It shall not be eaten in one house. You shall not take any of the flesh outside the house, and you shall not break any of its bones. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. If a stranger shall sojourn with you and would keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised. Then he may come near and keep it. He shall be as a native of the land, but no uncircumcised person shall eat of it. There shall be one law for the native, and for the stranger who sojourns among you. All the people of Israel did just as the Lord had commanded Moshe and Aharon. And on that very day the Lord brought the people of Israel out of the land of Mitzrayim by their hosts.
Any thoughts?
I'm just wondering about the hyssop, the symbolicness of the hyssop in the blood. Why hyssop?
Towards the end, it says, one law shall be for the native born and for the stranger who dwells among you. What is the one law?
The one this particular one is talking about.
The one just,
this particular chapter is talking about.
Okay.
I just find it very interesting that it all through this, there's always a stranger. There's always, you know, people who are not the Jews that are with them. So I find that interesting that in relationship to us being not Jewish, that, you know, people have been drawn to them and wanted to be with them, you know, forever.
Right.
So, and I like that.
Any questions about an unknown thing in this chapter? Is it pretty clear?
what's up with Pharaoh saying, and bless me too, as he's kicking them out?
And this one here?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not really too hard to understand. Yes.
I like how it talks about if the family's too small and there's extra land, then they need to share it with other families. I know that with, like in Leviticus where it's talking about making sacrifices and things, if you don't have enough money for a lamb or a goat, then you can do the two fowl or whatever. But with this specifically, he's making a way for everyone to be able to take part in the same thing.
That is correct. Yeah, it has to be a lamb or a goat.
Okay,
verse 9.
Eat not of it raw or sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. What is pertinence?
The internals, the guts, everything to be roasted. They didn't say to eat it, but they had to be roasted. Now, it's kind of, if you try to really kind of picture what this is the picture of, right? It's called Yahweh's sacrifice. Scripture later on will tell you it's Yahweh's blood sacrifice. Of course, it has to relate to the 10th, quote, plague, end of quote. And it relates to, there's not a single thing in, let's say it this way. Since the Lamb pictures, you know, the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world, right? Referring to the Son of God. Everything of it had to be cooked and then burnt to ashes before they left Egypt. All right, so let's, I guess you might say, let's begin. I'll do my very best. Here's where God says, this is the beginning, or this is the Orashit of your years. Orashit of the month, or the head of the month. And he has the specifically things going on in this particular month. What are the things that he has going on? Sorry, what?
Picking out the lamb.
Picking out the lamb, all right.
Getting rid of the leaven out of your houses.
Right.
And then making a very strong distinction between the circumcised and uncircumcised.
Very strong. What, when he goes into that one, he says, when you go into your land that I'm going to give you, make sure those rules are followed. At this particular point in time, it doesn't say one way or the other. I would assume, that's my assumption, which doesn't mean anything, that the multitude that joined them probably saw the horrible things taking place in Egypt, and God did not curse them. He had mercy upon them, because God's not after them. He's after Pharaoh and his men for a reason. Not because they're worse than anybody else, but because it's part of his plan. And they are to take and put aside this particular lamb or goat on the 10th day of the month. So obviously this was told to them before the first, or perhaps was told to them on the first day of the month that God spoke to Aaron and Moses. And so he revealed that information to them immediately. So why this month? Why was this the spring? Actually, it means the spring of the water, or plant life begins to come forth and produce something. What was this plant life primarily about? What? Life, okay.
Barley.
barley. That's the key thing, is the barley. Now, the reason why it has to be barley is why? Why couldn't it be any other plant?
Because barley is early and everything else is
later. Correct. So fall or summertime. So this is called, we've gone through this thing of Rashit Kazer. Remember that one? When we get there, we'll talk more in detail about that wave sheaf offering and what it really means in Hebrew. It's the first, it's when you go into the land and it's your first harvest. And the first harvest of that land is barley. Now, in Egypt, you remember, we read this, where in Egypt, when the hail came, it destroyed the crop. And then the grasshoppers come and make sure it was completely gone. Except there's one crop that they couldn't destroy. Do you remember what it was? No, hard barley was completely destroyed. They couldn't destroy the wheat. Because it was not sprouting yet. It doesn't sprout in the springtime. It sprouts in the summertime. We'll later get onto that much later on these holy days that surround that particular day, but we're not there yet. Now, there's always different opinions, different thoughts, different belief systems about, quote, when the Passover begins and when the Passover ends. Today I want to try to do my very best to say, I'm going to tell you what I see, and if you see differently, that's okay. I'm not on your case to make sure you hear what I hear or believe what I hear. I just want to bring this subject matter to the service. There's very key, interesting things that are in Hebrew. And Jeff read in his translation that this thing was to be killed at twilight. But in Hebrew, it says, be killed between evening and evening. Uses the word evening and evening twice. Now, what does that mean? Killed, and it says between evening and evening. What is it when you use the words in Hebrew, two words back to back, paralleling one another? No one knows? Alma?
If it's like in Hebrew, like yom yom, it's like today. So
today
maybe
or today.
Maybe it's the same.
Okay.
This evening.
Okay. Ellie?
When two words are together like that, it's like underlining them.
Now, this was to happen on the 14th day. When it's between evening and evening, something's happening between those two evenings. Hebrew, there's an evening here, there's an evening here. What's going between? It says between evening and evening. What does it mean between this evening and this evening?
So it happens before that evening, the second evening starts.
Before the second evening starts, okay.
I mean, exactly what time, I don't know, but before that 15th day starts.
All right. I'm not good at blackboard stuff, whiteboard stuff, green board stuff, so bear with me. Modern Hebrew has a word that we would understand because we use that word in English. It's called afternoon. When does evening begin? When it's dark? When does evening begin? When sunset? Okay. Okay. Stop and think for just a moment. It's pretty hard because we are so Americanized in English. And modern Hebrew, right? sun, straight up. What time is it? It's noon. When the sun starts going down. When does it start going down?
At 12:01.
At 12:01. It begins at 12:01. Noon now is going down. It's not completely set. It's on its way down. Technically speaking, the earth is moving. We know that, technically. So we have somewhere at 12:01, 2, where? When the sun actually sets. How long is that? 15 minutes? 20 hours? Approximately how much? During the springtime is the time when the timing is almost perfectly 12 hours daylight, 12 hours night. So it's approximately about, I'll just give you a figure up there. Let's just say 6 p.m. See, I'm not too good at this stuff. 6 o'clock p.m., approximately. Now, he said, I want you to kill that goat or that lamb between this time and that time. You got me? When do you kill it? 12:01? 12:02?
3 o'clock.
Why 3 o'clock?
That's
right, because it's between, exactly in the middle. When did the Messiah die? What time did he die? 3 o'clock when? In the morning? 6 o'clock at night? Moon? Noontime?
3 in the afternoon.
Precisely 3 in the afternoon. That's a right between the middle of. That makes sense to you? When you go into Hebrew writings, Hebrew scholars, Hebrew theologians, you want to call them? Hebrew scholars, Hebrew Orthodox, Hebrew Levitic. That's what they tell you. But in the Christian world, because it's translated in 1611 English, they had no idea what it meant. But English people don't live that way. So we would call it 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They didn't have the word afternoon in old Hebrew language. It didn't exist. You got me? So keep this in mind. And it's very important, because later on, I don't know if I'll do it today or not, this timing on this particular month is extremely fascinating. Now, no, it has nothing to do with whether you have salvation. That's not the subject matter. It's not whether or not you believe God. That's not the subject matter. It's not whether or not you should accept what I'm saying. That's not the subject matter. Just the timing. And he's dead. And he said, this is the Rashid of your ears. Why this month? Barley. What's the barley? The first harvest that you begin to eat. You make bread with it. You make food with it. The primary source of food. Primary source of food wasn't the goat, the cattle, the fish, you know, apples, oranges, turnips. It was barley. Main source of substance of solidness that you and I and God created for mankind. Main source. Yes.
Did also the instruction was for a lamb to be a year old. That would be perfect timing during that time of the season. There would be a lamb about that age. Also at that time, besides the barley.
Yeah. Coincidence, of course. Everything's coincidental with God. I mean, God never planned anything. It just happened. All right. So we're at this point, and it's very important. Read my head to bring this thing out on the 14th day. Because people, and you'll have an awful lot of people saying, Passover began on the 15th. Some say, no, Passover began on the 13th. No, Passover began on the 15th. When did Passover begin? Listen carefully to what is written. Listen carefully to what is written. It tells you. And of course, you would take the blood and put it between the doorpost and the overhead. And they closed the door. So, no, they didn't put blood on the door. They put blood on the framing of the door, not the door. And it's very important to know the difference between those two subject matters. Because God wasn't looking at the door. He's looking at the framing of the door. When we go on and knock on someone's door, let me ask you a real simple question. Do you look at the framing of the door and then knock on the door? No, you knock on the door. You don't pay attention to the frame. It says, oh, I got a mezuzah. You know what a mezuzah means? What does mezuzah mean? Doorpost. Oh, there's a doorpost and a doorpost. Kind of silly, right? We start thinking about that. I have a doorpost on my doorpost. And it's slanted inwardly. Doorpost on a doorpost, landed inwardly? That doesn't make sense. Of course, we know it's a phrase. It comes from a different sources. That's not what I'm saying. But it's kind of funny. There's something to be put upon the mezuzah. Not the mezuzah put upon the mezuzah. Something put to be put upon the mezuzah. The doorpost. Right? That's basically how it works. But now we're in the 14th day, and they are to assemble, and they make sure that everybody has that particular hunk of it, and they must burn it all before morning. Okay. Morning is when? The sun's arising. Really? Wait a minute. When does the sun start going down? 12:01. When did the sun start coming up? 12:01. We live in the same society they lived in there. And we'll read it, what it says in Hebrew, and understand when they say midnight, they meant midnight. When they said noon, they meant noon. Some like the same thing we do. How do they keep track? You know, of course they had their watch. You know, the iPhone, turned it on. Oh, look, there it was. They're brilliant men back then. They just all died out. We didn't know about it until we come up with it. And we think we invented it, right? So we're at this point on this particular chapter. So I'm not going to finish it today at all. I'm only opening up this part. And I'll real quickly. And he says, now, they shall take the blood and put upon two sides and the upper. And they shall, verse 18, and they shall eat the flesh in the daytime. No, they'll eat the flesh before the sun goes down. No, they eat the flesh, night? No, really. They're going to eat the flesh after the sun went down on the 14th. So when did they eat the Passover? On the 14th? Or the beginning of what? The 15th day. Now, something very important about the 15th day. The 15th day includes eating the Passover, not killing it, Because the issue wasn't killing it. That was already solved. It's when you eat it. Look it up in Hebrew. It means the same thing for night. So now there's this period. Okay, now they're going to eat when it's dark or when the sun starts going, quote, sunset is already and it's out of sight. I don't know what time that maybe it was 6:01. I don't know. I don't know the time. It wasn't there. But very fascinating. And he says, it's going to be, of course, and you eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs, you shall eat it. We'll not talk about that today. And verse 9, it says something very fascinating. You're not going to eat it raw. Okay. I guess God says we should not eat raw meat, right? You're not gonna boil it, so we shouldn't have any boiled meat, right? No stewed meat, no nothing. We're talking the Passover. We're talking the lamb or the goat. And the blood sacrifice that was on the doorpost and the overhead post of the entryway into your home or their home. All right? And verse 10, it says very fast, and nothing of that will remain until morning. Oh, evening and morning with the first day. Evening and morning the second day. Evening and morning the third day. Well, I know what he's talking about, right? That 12-hour period, that 12-hour period, right? We know that, right? We have a problem, however. When did they flee? Did they flee when the sun was rising? They fled immediately right after midnight. After midnight. Midnight, 12:01. Midnight, dark. Okay. When we think of 1 o'clock of middle of night, what do we call it? 1 o'clock at night? Or is it 1 o'clock in the morning? Because the sun is rising. It starts rising when it's still dark. Now, listen to words of the Messiah. I will come as a thief in the night. And you were not prepared for it. He doesn't come when the sun's there. He's going to come when it is night. What time? We'll get to there. I don't know if I get there today. But this relates to the Messiah everywhere you go. I'll try to get to this point. And verse 11 is very fascinating. And that thus shall you eat it, that is the goat or the lamb. And you're going to have your loins on. I mean, you have a girdle on. Men. And your shoes and your feet and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in good time. In what? Quickly. Gobble it down. But I have this big gobble it down. And if you don't get it eaten, burn it. What? How can I burn it? Well, you got to burn it before. When? Morning. When is morning? After, yeah. Now, we live in a world of clocks run by electricity or run by a nice wind-up one, and then we make sure it's close to the right time. And we pay attention to clocks. We type in the computer. Oh, yeah, there's a date, there's a time. And we turn on television, and there, okay, I know it comes on at 6 o'clock. I know it, because that's what you do. We live in a world of mechanisms. They didn't. They didn't even live in a world of mechanism, sorry to say, during the Messiah's time. Right? All right. Briefly. Hope I can do this. The reason why it's very important to understand the 15th day when it was dark, that's when they ate it. It's also the 15th day they had to get out of Egypt rapidly and quickly. And by the morn time the sun was rising, they were out of Egypt, out of Ramses rather, and into what's called Sukkot. We won't go through that today because people have to play on words. Okay. It's only a temporary spot. We'll talk about that in more detail later. And the Lord said, when I see the blood, I'm going to overlook. We call it Passover. I'm not going to enter. I'm not going to enter that doorway. You know, the Egyptians had doors. And they had doorposts. And they closed the door. It's very interesting in Hebrew. It says, I will not enter your door. Ooh. The door is closed. Oh, I'm not going to enter your door. What about the Egyptians? You mean the Egyptians always leave the doors open? No, they're closed doors too. The reason why he didn't enter those doors, because the blood was there. And these people had to do it. I find it very fascinating. Because they believed. For a moment in time in their life, you may say, these finally Israelites, finally for the first time, believe God. I disagree. I think they believed God for an awful lot. They didn't understand that much about God. And God was not revealing to them for at least 430 years. Whose fault is that? Them or God? Well, make your own decision on that one. And he said, now on this day, the 15th day, shall be unto you a memorial. You shall always keep it, for it is a feast unto Yahweh throughout your generations. 7 days you'll eat unleavened bread. The first day you shall put out leaven of your... What's first day? What? Oh, I thought the first day was the 13th day of the month. I thought the first day was the first day of the month. I thought the first day was the 10th day of the month. I thought the first day was what? The 14th day of the month. Well, the first day is what? The 15th day of the month. Get it out of your house. Oh, why on that day for? Can I do it earlier? Wait a minute. Don't you see the picture of why they were being pushed out of Egypt on the 15th day? They're being thrown out. When did the Messiah die? Well, he died on the 14th day. Great. Where did he go? In the grave. He is the one that takes away the sins of the world. Now the leaven is gone. Your leaven, my leaven is gone. Where'd it go? Into hell. It's no longer a part of you, no longer a part of me. It's dead. It's dead. Death came. Now, what do you do about it? Do you keep on living as though you are in sin? Or do you start living as though there is no sin? Well, that's what the days of unleavened bread are about. When we get there, we'll talk about that in more detail. But everything centers around what God is doing. And we'll talk about unleavened bread much later on. And I want to drop in here. And I said before, each person must look and examine for themselves what they see or view what's leavened bread. I'm not going to give you my explanation. I already told you earlier what we here in Hell Fellowship, when you come, you're going to be with us on Passover time, or should I say that time of to be in remembrance. We remove all of that. Anything it could look like and come close to making bread rise. It was not necessarily the Jewish belief system. It's okay. I'm not interested whether they're right and I'm wrong, or I'm wrong and they're right, and they're right and I'm wrong. I'm wrong and they're right. I'm not interested in that. Okay? So I find it very fascinating. The 15th day. It's not just the 15th day of unleavened bread. Although the whole rest of the 7 days, the subject matter is unleavened bread. For seven, it's all solid. days. And they were to eat the Passover with unleavened bread. They didn't eat the Passover at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on the 14th. They would have to eat it after, in night, and they ate it with unleavened bread and with the lamb and with bitter herbs. I've got to cut it close here real quick. All right. Of course, you're taking the hyssop. I don't know why they use, someone asked me about why they use hyssop. I don't have an answer for that. I didn't look it up and study it. Does anybody have an answer for that? Okay, here we go.
Hyssop was a cleanser and a healing ointment.
It's a healing ointment?
And a cleanser.
Interesting.
It's an antibacterial type.
Okay, in this case, it was kept you from death.
Yeah.
Yes.
It also, blood draws flies. And hyssop is from the mint family, and flies won't come around it.
Interesting. You have to ask ladies. They know about this stuff more than I do. I'll tell you that much. Thank God, God created women, I tell you. I wouldn't know what I'm doing. All right, I got a quarter or two. And verse 21, Moses called the elders of Israel and said to do this. And he says down there, no one shall go out of his house until morning, verse 22. And once again, they didn't go out of their house until the sun rose. I mean, Sesame DeMille movie was correct. Right? They left broad daylight time. Not according to scripture. They left immediately after midnight. They fled at night. We would call it, oh, that's dark. Yes. Oh, they did it in the dark time. Yes, they did it in the dark time. But it says morning. Morning? What morning? We'll talk about morning in a minute. Before we go there, we've got to have the next verse, and it says, I will not suffer, and the translation is, the destroyer. Now, a lot of people interpret this to mean the devil, or some angel, or something else. But in Hebrew, it doesn't say a name. It says, I will keep you from the destruction. I will keep you from being destroyed. I am going to destroy Egypt. I am not going. I'll keep the destruction away from your house. Destruction will not enter into your door. That's the real Hebrew word here. It doesn't mean to destroy. It means to literally ruin. It means to lay to waste. I mean, you could be feeble as the devil, then go ahead, feeble as the devil. I don't care. I don't find it written. But then that's just me. Richard's always different, okay? I'm going to get here. Of course, it said, make sure you tell your sons and your daughters. And it'll come to pass that when you go into your land, you're going to do this, and you're going to promise, and you're going to keep this service. And it'll come to pass, your child shall say, what have you done? And you're supposed to tell them, this is the Lord's Passover. This is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover. This belongs to him. He owns it. Lock, stock, and barrel. Just like he owned the death of his own son. It was his blood sacrifice. It wasn't man's sacrifice to God, for God to forgive man. It was God's sacrifice to forgive man. That's what it's the whole thing about, the lamb that takes away the sins of the world. It's God who sacrificed his son. We don't sacrifice his son. We can't take his son to the altar. We can't say, I'm going to kill him so you would save me. We don't do that, do we? But God did. Remember he said to one of those Pontius Pilate? Pilate. I guess it was Pontius Pilate. I think it's Pilate, right? Anyway, you don't have the power to stop this from happening. And it kind of frightened him. So let's go on here. Exodus 12, verse 29. And it came to pass that at noonday, sun out. It was the middle of the day that Yahweh smote all the firstborn of Egypt. Oh, really? No, he did it exact. In Hebrew, that means exactly middle. The middle at 12 o'clock, our time. The thief's going to come in the middle of the night. And that thief is going to do a great destruction. As we see here, as he did in Egypt. Is there a parallel or not a parallel? Messiah told us, I'm going to come as a thief in the night. What time are you going to come? 6 o'clock at night? 10 o'clock at night? 1 o'clock at night? 6 o'clock at night? How about 6 o'clock in the morning? Still time. No. In the middle of the night. Very important thing. I want to write things up on the board for a moment. Unlike our world, now the military actually does have this in the military. If any of you have been in the military, you know, when you had to stand guard, it was called the watch. And your watch was broken up into a certain segment of time. And your watch was finished, another watch guy came, and it was his time. And when he left, another watch guy came, and it was his time. When he left, another watch guy came. Now each one of those watches have a name. In the book of New Testament, it talks about four watches at night. Talks about four watches at night. One began, the first one, sun set to 9 o'clock p.m. The second one started at 9 p.m. to 12 midnight. The third, it started at 12 to 3 a.m. The fourth one started at 3 a.m. to sunrise, which is approximately 6 and 6. Approximately. It varied throughout the year. It's still p.m. This is 12:01. It'd be a.m. I'm just starting to say it right at midnight. He's still. This guy ends at 12 midnight. This guy started at 12 midnight. Now, this one is called evening. First watch is called evening. The second watch is called midnight. The third watch is called cock. The fourth one is called the morning. This is New Testament timing. Now, let me ask you a question. When did Peter deny? Before midnight. Interesting subject matter, right? Now, the New Testament has those three distinct ones. It's real easy to find. I'm not going to go through it today because it's not that important today. But in the Old Testament, I can bring out at least three of them, but I can't bring out the fourth one, except it says there's a fourth one called midnight. And I couldn't figure out exactly that timing. In Lamentations, chapter 2, verse 19, it's called the beginning of the watches. dog and nighttime watches. So there's a beginning of one, which is what we call the evening one. The beginning was the first watch is the beginning one. It's the evening one. That's in Lamentations chapter 2, verse 19. And then the one that's called the middle of the night watch. Now, this one, middle of the night watch. What time do you think it is? Well, we kind of think it meant this one. All right? But you start going to Judges chapter 7, verse 19, and it seems to start a little bit, like in the middle of that watch. But it could be also the midnight one. And this one, in a way, is missing in the Old Testament. I'm saying that. I only found three in all the Tanakh, with one possible exception, and that's in the 119th chapter of Psalm. And there's one called the morning watch. The only one I couldn't find is the second one. That's just me. I do a lot of research on watches. I believe they had four, very common. Some people think, no, the Romans started that. No, it was the Greeks who started that. No, it was the Jews who started that during Messiah's time. No, it probably was very common. Because people run their lives not by a clock, but by a time limit. How would you know what time would be in the middle of the night? How would you look to find out when it's midnight? The stars. That's what they did. Hey, look at the star. Okay. We say, huh? Don't ask Richard to do that because they're all a blur to me. My eyes can't see that far. I got real poor eyesight. I have to rely on somebody else to tell me what time it is in the middle of the night. In Lamentations 2, verse 19, arise, cry out in the night, in the beginning of the watches. Boom. That's what it says there. And Judges chapter 7, verse 19, and Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came on the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch. Beginning of the middle watch. Beginning of the middle. Oh, what is the middle? Midnight. And then, of course, Exodus will get there in the 14th chapter. He's talking about a lot of different times they're crossing the sea. We'll get there. We'll talk about that in more detail. But in the, it's very fascinating to know that verse 20, 14, verse 21, it says there, and Yahuwah caused the sea to go back to a strong wind all that night. I'm thinking it probably was from time the, what, evening watch was until what? Oh, I don't know. Till 9 o'clock? I don't know. Doesn't tell me that. Just says that night. Later on in verse 24, it says, then it came to pass at the morning watch. Remember? This was called the morning watch. When did the morning watch start? 3 o'clock in the morning. And then what happened? They all got drowned. Remember, it was a light to them. And when God opened up to let the Pharaoh and his men to go, it was also light to them. However, they died. And that's when they saw things floating on the top of the water. Book of Acts, we won't go through the book of Acts, it's about midnight stuff. I'm going to call it quits right now. I'm not going to be able to finish this thing at all. But do you understand what I'm trying to, I don't understand. This 12th chapter is telling us a tremendous amount of information. Now, I know that it's coincidental. Everything is coincidental in the Word of God. I know that. Just ask me. However, timing is God's timing. He created time. He created the sunrise. He created the sunset. He created midnight. He created noon. He created 3 o'clock. He created the first watch, the second watch, third watch, fourth watch. He created these things for us to watch. What did the Messiah say in the book of Luke, if I remember that correctly? Watch you therefore. When do you watch? When you feel like it? Or you watch all the watches? There are also four daytime watches. Guards just not guard at night. Guards also guard during the daytime. And they're broken up into four different watches. Both Romans and Greeks and Jews kept the same cycle of time. So far, I may have left you in a not hope dark, but I just want you to get this information. We'll talk more about who's authorized, quote, end quote, to take the Passover, and why some of your translations have a little bit kind of odd in the terminology, but sometimes the translations are unclear. So you have to kind of know what Hebrew says. All right. Don't leave anybody in the dark. Give you something to think about. The Bible talks about watches. They don't talk about a Timex. They don't talk about, what's the most expensive watch? Rolodex or whatever. They don't talk about that. They don't even talk about that thing, you know, where the sun comes in and the shadow's going that way and they got little marks on there. Do you see what time it is? Don't have that at night, do you? But you do have something else at night. They have the stars to tell you what time it is. That's how man used to be able to tell what time it was, by the way.